As Bill said, my name is Mike, and I'm fairly new here, so just getting to know most of you, and it's been awesome. We feel very welcomed here, and we're glad to be here and to continue getting to know more people. So sounds like lots of exciting stuff going on. This morning, we are going to dive into God's Word, and we want to hear from Him, so let's see what we've got today. Before we get into our scripture, I want to look at a scripture in Ephesians. But before we get into that scripture, I just want to back up for a couple of moments, right back to the beginning of the Bible, right back to Genesis, right back to creation, and lay a bit of groundwork first. So we're in the Garden of Eden. God has created. He's got this wonderful world that He has built, that He has put together, and He creates Adam and Eve. And the Bible tells us that God created Adam and Eve in His image, which means that we have some of God's image in us. We are not God, but because we are created in His image, we have His image in us. Now, for today, what we want to focus on is that Adam and Eve walked with God personally and intimately in the garden. And, you know, if you've been to Sunday school, you might be familiar with the stories, and you realize, you know, Adam and Eve were naked walking around in this garden. And, you know, our first thought is, like, physically naked, a little bit awkward, right? But for them, it wasn't just that they were physically unclothed. They were also spiritually and mentally naked in that there was nothing between them and God. There was a unity, a relationship, a communion that went beyond just the physical. And I don't know if we can fully grasp that today because we live in a fallen humanity, but we will grasp it. Maybe we catch glimpses of it here and there, but we will certainly know it in heaven. And I think we catch glimpses of it as we walk today of this relationship. So it's important to note from the beginning of time, we were created to be in relationship. First, with God. And secondly, with people. Genesis tells us that it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. And God created Eve. And they were created to be in relationship with God and with each other. Now, you know, we probably know that state, however long it lasted, Adam and Eve sinned. And they fell from the design that God had for them. They were punished. They had to leave the garden. The relationship between God and people was damaged. The relationship between humanity, between each other, was damaged. And ever since then, we have all been looking for love in all the wrong places because the relationship that we were designed for was damaged. And we weren't capable of fixing things on our own. We couldn't restore the relationship by ourselves. Jesus had to come to earth to restore that relationship. And it's only through Him that we can find our way back into right relationship with God. Now, I want to jump into a scripture in Ephesians, and we're going to look at how this relationship works a little bit. And this is such a beautiful passage. I hope as I read it, you just allow it to sink in, allow it to wash over you. And this passage, it's actually a prayer. The Apostle Paul is writing this. It's a prayer that he wrote in Ephesians. And it's Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. And it says, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. It's such a beautiful passage, such an amazing prayer as Paul records this for us and we get to read it years later. This prayer, as you're reading Ephesians, this prayer actually comes out of what Paul has written earlier in Ephesians, and he's been talking about Christ's power, he's been talking about faith, and he's been talking about love. So this power that Paul writes about flows out of God's glorious riches. And as we looked at last week, if you were here, we looked at Psalm 23, and you see that God is not limited in any way. He doesn't lack anything. He is able to provide for us because of his unlimited riches. He's not going to run out of anything. He's not going to stop caring about people. God is able to provide and does provide for us. And the Spirit works in people to effect this power. And the amazing thing is that we are invited into relationship with Jesus. We are invited back into the relationship that was damaged in the Garden of Eden. Because of what Jesus has done, we are able to find that relationship again through Jesus. And the result is that Christ dwells in people's hearts. Now we kind of have this picture of relationship again, going back to the Garden of Eden, this ideal relationship. We know we looked at the Garden of Eden as this place of bliss and tranquility and peace, and I think it was. We obviously know we don't live in Eden anymore. So what often happens in our culture is that, especially nowadays, I think maybe we talk about the importance of relationships more than ever. And in a lot of ways, we're probably more connected than ever. I'm just old enough to have not grown up with the internet until I was a teenager. And cell phones were not a thing until, you know, I was kind of college age. So I knew a little bit about the days before the internet and cell phones. And it's like, if you weren't home, you couldn't get a hold of people, right? There was no way. If you weren't home, call someone, leave a message. They'll get to it later, right? We're so used to our instant connections nowadays, being constantly in touch with people, whether, you know, it's FaceTime, it's texting, emails. We're able to access our networks, our people, all the time, constantly. So in some ways, we're more connected than ever, but in some ways, maybe we're the loneliest people that have ever lived, because we have all these digital connections, and sometimes we forget to live in our physical connections. And we have all these, we have our social media, we have our apps, and we know that, you know, those things have their place for sure, but we need more than Instagram likes and instant messages. Those things can only take us so far. We need relationships, we need depth, we need connection with people. We're looking for relationship because we're created for relationship. That's why social media is so popular, right? We are designed for relationship, and social media, you know, plays on that, sometimes in good ways, sometimes in bad ways, because we need relationship. We're created for relationship first with God and second with people. And the church father Augustine said this: "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." We continually search for relationship because we need it. And the foundation of this relationship is found in the community of the Trinity itself. So let me explain this a little bit. Before people existed, God existed, right? He has always existed. But God was not by himself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were present throughout eternity. Before ever there was humanity, there was the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Trinity exists in relationship. You know, I can't explain this scientifically because I don't think it can be explained scientifically, but the Trinity is relationship. It exists in relationship. The three persons of God exist in this eternal relationship. Dallas Willard writes this, and hopefully this helps to unpack it a little bit. He says, there is a constant communion among the great persons of the Trinity itself. Think of the most wonderful, the most attractive, the most thrilling, the most vibrant personal company that you can imagine, and multiply that by a factor of infinity, and you have begun to get a glimpse of what God is doing, where he is, what he was doing before the foundation of the earth, and what he will be doing forever. And again, it's hard to wrap our minds around this, but the Trinity exists in perfect relationship. And the thing that amazes me, and I can't say I fully understand this, but the thing that amazes me is that we are invited into that relationship. We are invited into the community of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are invited to be part of what God is doing, what he has been up to from the beginning, from eternity. We are invited into this relationship. And as we walk through the Gospels, when you read through the Gospels, you see Jesus is continually inviting people to come with him, to see what he is up to see what this relationship looks like. We read the passage this morning in John 15. There's so many metaphors in the Bible to talk about being invited in, being part of what Jesus is doing. We have the vine and the branches. We have the shepherd and the sheep. We have the temple, that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. We have the building. We have the body of Christ. There's so many metaphors that the Bible uses to show that we are part of what God is doing, that we are invited in to what he is up to in this world. So we're invited into relationship with Jesus, but we're not just invited into relationship with Jesus. We're invited into relationship with each other, with people. The Bible teaches us that we are adopted by God into his family in John chapter 1. We're invited to become part of the family that God is developing throughout history, which is the church. And we just mentioned John 15:5, the branches and the vine. And the thing that gets me about that picture, you know, you imagine the vine, you imagine the branches. The vine is Jesus. People are the branches. We kind of think, okay, yeah, I'm connected to Jesus. That's great. I'm part of him. But if we are connected to the same vine, that means that we are connected to each other because we are in the same vine, in Jesus. That means though we may have connected at different times and in different places, you know, some people are over here in the vine, some people are over here, some people are up here, some people are over there. We're all connected to the same vine, which means we're all connected to each other. What happens in one part of the vine affects other parts of the vine. We coexist. The Bible, again, makes that clear, the body of Christ, right? You know, one part gets hurt, it affects other parts. We're all interconnected because we are part of the same thing, the same vine, the church. And looking back to our passage in Ephesians, we have this wonderful picture of growth and relationship in Jesus and in the body of Christ. And as Christ is love, so love is both the foundation of the Christian life and the root of Christian character. Pastor Matt talked about that when he did the series on the fruit of the Spirit, that love underlies all of the fruit of the Spirit. It's essential for living Christian life. And when Paul writes in this passage in Ephesians that love is comprehended with all the saints, he means that we only grasp love as it is lived and worked out in the community with other people. One of the commentators I was reading says this. He says, the true understanding of Christ's love is not then an individual experience, but takes place in the community. And I just think about how these connections work, and it's so interesting to me how the Holy Spirit works. So I was mentioned this to Judy last week. She prayed for me before the service when we were having pre-service prayer, and she prayed about a relay race. And she didn't know this, but that metaphor has been very meaningful to me over the past year. It's been something that God has been showing me, and maybe we'll get into that more at some point, but suffice it to say that that metaphor has been very meaningful to me over the past year. And Judy prayed for me last week using this metaphor, that, you know, something she was hearing from the Holy Spirit, and prayed about it. She didn't know anything about that in my life, but because we are connected in the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit showed her something that had meaning to me, even though she didn't know that. There was no way she could have known that. I hadn't told her about it or anything like that. But that's how community works, because I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, Judy's listening to the Holy Spirit, and there's connections that happen amongst us in the body of Christ because we are in the same vine, because the same Holy Spirit is working in us. That's how community works. And God, of course, speaks directly to us at times, but he also speaks to us through other people, and we hear him in community. And that's often where we hear him, is in community and through other people. So going back to Genesis, we see that we are created by God for relationship with him, for relationship with other people, and that we cannot find satisfaction apart from God. We exist with fellow humans. We have relationships. We have connections. Another Dallas Willard quote that I think sums this up really well. What the purpose of this relationship is, what the purpose of our relationship in Christ and in the church is. People exist to love as Jesus loved. Indeed, the aim of God in human history is the creation of an all-inclusive community of loving persons with himself at the center of that community as its prime sustainer and most glorious inhabitant. And I hope we're able to grasp that. Again, it's not necessarily something that's easy to wrap our minds around, but just this picture of God existing eternally in community, us being invited into that relationship through Christ, living together in the vine, the lifeblood of Jesus flowing through all of us, interconnected in the body of Christ, Jesus at the center, us surrounding and connecting to him, flowing out of him and moving in the church, in our community, in our families, as we live life. And after Paul is finishing his prayer, as he's finishing up this prayer, he closes with this beautiful blessing at the end of it. And I just want to read the last couple verses, verse 20 and 21 again. Paul says, "Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever." God is so beyond our understanding that he can do far more than we can imagine. Yet, this amazing power is at work within us, within believers, within followers of Christ. And this final thing that struck me is that the beautiful work that Jesus is doing is that sinful humanity, us, fallen people, are brought together with the sinless Son, Christ, and together we bring glory to God. And again, don't ask me how that makes sense, because logically on the surface of it, it doesn't necessarily make sense. Fallen, sinful humanity, united with Christ, together we bring glory to God. We get to be part of what God is doing. And something that has really struck me the last couple of years, something that I try to live by, is this little phrase that God is already up to something good. Because it reminds me that before I was here, long after I'm gone, God was good, is going to be good, always is good, and he is up to something good at all times. It means he's working in my life, he's working in your life, he's working in this city, he's working in our province, our country, our world, and sometimes we look around and think, where is God? But he is working. He is up to something good. We get to join him in what he is doing. We get to be part of what God is doing. Sinful humanity and the sinless Son united together, bringing glory to God. And I hope you're able to see that picture, because I think it's an amazing picture. We get little hints of heaven on earth, and I think that's one of them, that we get to bring glory to God together, united in Christ. And we are invited into this beautiful relationship. As we close this morning, I just want to take time again to pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for Paul's prayer in Ephesians that was written so many years ago and still so relevant to today. So meaningful to us, Lord, that we get to walk in the paths that have been walked before. We get to follow you. We get to join you in what you're doing. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the gift of your Son, for being able to have relationship with you, to have relationship with each other. We thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We thank you that you are good. And we pray this in your name. Amen.